It's been a month of more downs and ups, but just before Halloween, Reading get that scary run of defeats over by beating Blackpool 3-0, just days after the horror show at Dean Court. We'll review both games on the Tarleston episode number 39. My name's Dan Wimbush, and I'm joined, as always, by Mr. Alan West, otherwise known as Westy. Hello.
Bravo, hello. Bravo to that entry. Entrance, it was really good.
Yeah, fourth time's the charm. Brilliant. And Mr. Johnny Williams. Johnny, hello.
I'll see if I can get some sound effects to spook it up a little bit. And also, yeah. iPro probably won't be happy about you calling it Dean Court. Either,
Gold Sand Stadium.
Yeah. It's Dean Court.
It's a debate. Yeah, it's a debate for pub chat. But for me, whatever the stadium's first called is what I'll call it.
That's it. Fair enough.
It'll always be the Medici Stadium. But like the Emirates, it'll probably always be the Emirates because that's what it started with, or the Etihad.
Should we make that a rule for the pod? Yeah. That's to be old grounds only.
Old grounds only. Yeah.
Keep it old school.
To not frighten some of our older listeners.
Anyway, this time last week we were sat here fairly miserable. I think it's safe to say we had another hammering against Derby on the back of the Brentford game. And if we'd been recording this show before the weekend, God knows what our tone would have been like. Mm. Safe to say, social media was not a place for faint-hearted after Reading get smashed 3-0 at Bournemouth. But they got an air of respectability back with a comfortable win over the bottom side, Blackpool. So I suppose let's get the bad stuff out of the way then, gents. Bournemouth, is that the low point of the season, Johnny? Could it get any worse? You were there.
I don't think it can, to be honest. I mean, again, the frustrating thing is, and like we said against Derby, the first half performance was actually quite respectable. I know that against Derby we went in 2-0 down, and against Bournemouth we actually looked the better side in the first half. Went in 0-0, and I thought, you know, we looked relatively comfortable. We hit the post through a shot. They hit the post through a cross, which was one of those that just sort of, you know, he puts it to the back stick and it just about sneaks in, except luckily it didn't. Went in 0-0 thinking, okay, this is quite good. 10 minutes after half-time again, we're 2-0 down. 3-0 down after 63. By then, the Reading fans just don't care and they're just doing this chant over and over and over again. Federici made three or four absolutely smashing saves to really save our blushes. And it's just so strange that after it being 0-0 at half-time, it could legitimately have been about 7-0 at full-time.
Again, they completely capitulated, don't they? But they never do well at Bournemouth.
No.
But that's no excuse because they threw the game away in what, 10, 15 minutes and it was all over. Again, they did start well at Bournemouth and they were well in the game, but they just don't, for some reason, recently, they just don't seem to be able to beat sides.
And I'll tell you the other thing, you could see once that first goal went in, you know, Bournemouth get their heads up, our heads go down and you could just sort of see them thinking, oh God, here we go again. And I think that clean sheet, we'll come on to talk about the Blackpool game later, but the clean sheet that we got against Blackpool will certainly help them. It was only the bottom side in the table, but for us to go from what, conceding 12 goals in 5 games to conceding no goals, you know, I mean, that is an improvement.
There were some sloppy goals again as well, weren't there? It's not awful. It's not as if teams have carved us apart. We're making trouble for ourselves a lot of the time.
Michael Hector's a very lucky boy to still be in that side, because if he'd been in a team with any sort of defensive depth, he would have been taken out. And that's not all his own fault. We've said this before, he's a young player learning, but again, just a howler of an evening. And I said Reading just blown apart. I don't even want to spend too long on it because, I mean, what can you say? It was a team with fragile confidence. And like you say, as soon as one goal goes in, they've got nothing to hang on to. No. Especially when they've not been scoring at the other end either, or coming back into games, and it was just bang, 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 game done.
But that was the frustrating thing. You can't directly put any of those Bournemouth goals down to exceptional play from Bournemouth.
No.
One of them, the first one, I think Hector gets drawn out. They pass it out wide and then Abita or Pierce completely loses Wilson in the middle. 1-0. Second one, again, Hector's drawn too far in front of the defence and they just play it round and simple enough finish. And then the third one, I mean, you've talked often about corners, Westy. For someone to hit a volley from a corner is just criminal.
Yeah, I know. Again, it's corners and free kicks, we look susceptible to conceding goals, and it happens every week. And we've mentioned it every week, so surely they must be doing something about it, you'd like to hope.
Well, there's two positives. Number one, that's over and we can move on. Number two, at least we're not Birmingham, because Birmingham made Reading look like world beaters by getting stuffed 8-0 at home.
Do you know the worst thing about Birmingham's defeat this week, right? I could have written the stars. It was the only team that let me down on goals, goals, goals. Now, if someone had said to you, there's going to be 2 penalties and 8 goals in this game, you'd have put it down every day of the week. But because I bet on it, guaranteed that Birmingham weren't going to score and miss a penalty.
I'll tell you my betting ways, Westy, and we'll get the Gamblerware reference in nice and early.
Yeah,
bet responsibly.
Yeah. I did a scorecast. Callum Wilson to score first. Mm-hmm. Bournemouth to win 3-1.
Oh.
Federici did his part to keep the score down to 3.
Just the rest of them didn't.
Just we bring on the Pog for 15 minutes and all he did was jog around lightly and pull up his socks.
I think he
bit.
Achieved the first 1 out of 10 ranking in our player ratings this year. He's, with Handbags Harris.
Unfortunately, Mr. Pog Rebnet's efforts recently have looked far below what they should
be. Yeah, and we'll come on to some comments from the Pog a little bit later. But let's move on to some positive things because we finally got a win to talk about. I've labelled this the most boring 3-0 I've ever witnessed.
It was
but
shockingly boring.
At the end of the day, and I said this to Charles on the podcast extra on Friday, and we've been saying it on Twitter, every single Reading fan before the game would have gladly taken a scrappy 1-0 win. And okay, it wasn't a scrappy 1-0 win, it was a scrappy 3-0 win, but that was the bare minimum they had to do. They got it done and they can move on. Is this the start of an upswing? Or Johnny, is it that Blackpool was so bad that anyone would have beaten them?
But I don't even think they were that bad. I mean,
they were. Well, they were awful.
They create...
You might as well have had an actual fridge up front instead of Ismael Miller for the amount of movement it did. That would have run quicker.
I like that one. No, they had a couple of chances, but I didn't think we deserved to win that 3-0. We certainly weren't convincing. When you look at the goals, one was a horrendous keeping error.
Yeah. Former England goalkeeper Joe Lewis.
Yeah, yeah. We saw Harry Kane going goal for Tottenham on Tuesday night, Thursday night. He'd have probably saved that one.
I think I'd have saved that one. Yeah. It was so tame.
Second one was an own goal. Third one was a penalty. I mean, you said, Wim, that we'd have taken a scrappy 1-0, but you'd have at least liked to see us go at them. And they go 1-0 down, after half an hour? And you think, right, let's go for the jugular. Let's not just pass it around and try and do it all tamely and consolidate for a 1-0 win. Let's go and have them because they're a team that's there for the taking. We were time-wasting with half an hour to go.
Yeah, it was, like you say, it was a boring and dull game, but I think Reading played the team that was best to play at that time because they were under pressure. And again, it could have spun the other way because if Blackpool would have scored, I think the crowd might have turned, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I thought they was always comfortable. Didn't think it ever looked like it was going to get beat. And I know you said that the 3 goals they scored were scrappy, but to be fair, the own goal, they forced a mistake. The penalty, I thought, was a bit dodgy, to say the least. But then Mackie missed an absolute sitter that he blazed over the bar, so it could have been comfortable. I think Federici was called into action probably twice during the match. Other than that, I thought it was comfortable through the game, and it was a professional performance, I suppose, is about all we can say about it.
Yeah, not a lot else. The only interesting thing to take away from it is Westy, interesting thing, who did you say was man of the match on Saturday?
I said Mackie, and the only reason I said Mackie was just because he done what he does best, where he give you 100% effort. Did he have the quality to go with a man of the match performance? I'd have to say no, but he certainly tried to get the crowd up, and he tried, and that's all you can ask for.
Because me and I got left back with Johnny on Saturday, and we were sat in the car with your dad, weren't we? And as soon as they announced that Mackie had won the sponsors player of the match, we were like, what?
I mean,
I thought he'd done really.
I thought he had a good game.
I didn't think he played brilliantly, but I thought what he'd done was he ran and ran and ran, and he made sure that everyone else done the same.
I struggled to pick out a 7 out of 10 for that team.
Yeah, there was
it was a load of sixes.
Yeah, no one was spectacular, and again, no one was awful. Yeah. But I just thought Mackie done what he'd done best, and that's why he gets man of the match.
Interesting bit of trivia from our regular man of the match votes, which is voted on by the Tullus Reading public, and anyone can vote on them. Jamie Mackie has the most Man of the Match awards this season.
Yeah, because he's the fan on the pitch.
Yeah. Gates, I believe it's Middlesbrough, the game on Saturday, and Brentford. He's won
that. But ironically, I mean, going back a few years, but I used to sit and watch teams in Reading in the 90s, and you see Phil Parkinson get a lot of Man of the Match awards, but not really touch the ball with a game. But what he did used to do is stick his foot in and stick his head in where the boots were flying. And fans relate to that because, like Mackie this week, I thought he was the fan on the pitch.
That one where he almost was in with the fans, wasn't he? When he went over the the advertising board in the North Stand.
He ran and ran, and that's endearing, and I think fans like to see that.
Has he got enough about him at the moment, though, to keep out of Gareth McCleary on the presumption that McCleary is fit?
I think McCleary will come back into the side, and I think that's what we were saying about Mackie. His production isn't the best at times. I mean, for all the times that Norwood pings it over to him on the right wing or he runs at a defender, he's only got one assist, and that was the Cox goal against Brentford, and I think even that was a bit of a scuff shot, to be honest. He's not the best at crossing. I think that comes from the fact that he is a converted striker. But as you say, Wesley, you cannot fault his effort because he will run and run and run. And I mean, he even ran off the pitch when he was subbed.
Yeah.
Normally they sort of take their time and lap up the applause, but he's running strategy.
Yeah, and I've been vocal about my
Forrest
love.
Forrest Gump.
My vocal about my love of Mackie before. I said ever since his Plymouth days, I've followed him and wanted him to play for Reading. But you do get a sense of why maybe he's bounced around clubs, because there does seem to be that missing little X factor.
He's low on quality, and at the moment he's been low on goals for us as well, so he won't stay in the side for his crossing or his goal scoring ability. Mm. So you'd have to think that when McCleary's fit, he will come into the team. But like I say, when players run around and try the hardest like that, it does rub off on the others, and I think having him in the team when you're struggling is a good player to have.
Yeah, so 3-0, we're Reading up to 14th in the table. I think we're, 8 points clear of the relegation zone and 5 away from the playoffs. Just as a quick sort of poll, do you think Reading are nearer to a playoff side, or are they nearer to a relegation worried side?
I know it's a bit sitting on the fence, but they're not near to anything.
Yeah.
But if you not allowed to sit on the fence?
I think we're nearer a playoff side.
Yeah, more likely, Reading to be drawn into a relegation battle or a playoff battle?
Playoff battle, I would have thought.
I honestly think we'll just be there in the middle with a really boring season. I think it was the game atmosphere really reflected that. It reminded me of the 46th game of the season. We're a team that knows we're going to finish about 14th. They're a team that knows they're going down, and it's just, you know, going through the motions.
It was gloomy, but I suppose the question you've got to ask yourself then is, again, with new owners, are they going to start to notice this? Because there was a shocking lack of people at the ground, I thought, on Saturday.
It's 15,000, wasn't it?
It said 15,000, but yeah. I was convinced it was far less than that.
And a lot of blue seats.
It's unusual I can get to the bar regularly and quickly, and it was quite empty wherever I went. Getting in the car park was really easy, and then not always that way. So I think as new owners, I start looking around thinking, hang on, there's no atmosphere in this ground, and the crowd's starting to drop off quite a bit. Even from the start of the season, we spoke about this, that old season ticket holders that I know haven't renewed, and they're not there anymore, and they've been going for 30 years. So it won't be long before they start looking around thinking, hang on, these crowds are dropping off.
And there is dissent amongst some of the fan base as well when it comes to manager Nigel Adkins, but that is going to be the subject of our pub chat shortly, so stay tuned for that. But in the meantime, a few bits of news to round up in News Bites.
Reading News Bites on the Tarlhurst End podcast.
Right, welcome back to News Bites. Not an awful lot going on around the club. They held an open day today, and that seemed like it was a success. Lots of fans very happy and getting a chance to meet the players, and it's nice the club do things like that.
That brilliant quote from Nigel Adkins, didn't we?
Yeah, I was saving that for the champagne moment. But have you seen his
quote?
No,
I've missed this.
This is a rather brilliant quote from Nigel Adkins. So,
is it in his normal used car salesman?
Oh yes,
styly. Yeah.
David Brent was quoted it. I don't know. Can you see that?
Yeah, this
is the quote. Read it out.
Yeah, you read it out.
The positivity of being positive is so positive. Said David Brent.
The reason I didn't read that is because I didn't really understand it.
He's just using the word positive a lot.
It does sense. Yeah. He's a positive sort of guy, I suppose. But he does come
across. The positives of being positive is a positive thing, I think is what he's trying
to say. He does come across as a used car salesman.
Yeah. Well, at the end of the day, managers very rarely say anything interesting anyway, because it only gets him into trouble.
But no, unfortunately, it's killed it a little bit.
Yeah. But anyway, as I said, we have a go at the club for various bits and bobs. When they do things like that, and the players, you know, are happy to chat with fans and stuff, good on them.
Used to do it years ago. I remember going when I was little. It used to be great. They used to get on pitch with the players and take penalties against Gary Westwood in goal.
Yeah, and the fans that did come down to the Bodega Stadium got a chance to witness some of the injured players making a return. It's finally good news on the injury front. Again, we chatted with Charles on Friday's podcast extra about it, and there's been a couple of pieces on the website. But if you've missed it, the good news is Anton Ferdinand and Danny Williams have played in a semi-competitive fixture. They both took part in the under-21s 2-0 win down at Brighton last night. Ferdinand got an hour and Danny Williams got 45 minutes. Gareth McAleer and Jem Carrichan still a little bit away from taking part in a semi-competitive match. But they're both targeting returns. And we were looking at the fixture list just before you got here, Johnny, and we were saying that Reading have got this game against Blackburn on Saturday, then a couple of home games in the space of 5 days with Rotherham and Charlton, and there's an international break. So I would be predicting that probably you'd see 3, maybe even all 4 of them involved in some capacity after we come back. But I'd still be surprised to see them back before then.
Yeah, and I think, you know, because we don't have a massive build-up of games in terms of that, like, you're not necessarily playing... Oh, no, we are playing 3 in a week. So I think the ones that are sort of closer to fitness, we might see at least them on the bench.
Yeah, they might be on the bench.
Cover people off with half an hour to go, but you certainly don't want to rush them back after we've had them out for so long.
You've got that 2-week break, as I said, we've got Blackburn Saturday, Rotherham Tuesday, Charlton Saturday on the 8th. then it's the 21st and we go to Cardiff. And you've got that 2 week break. Mm. Just don't rush it. And the last thing that Nigel Atkins or anyone wants to see is Gareth McCleary being rushed back when we're losing 2-0 at home to Charlton.
I'll tell you what,
tweaks his back and he's gone.
We don't want a Diego Costa situation where they get called up to the international squad out of absolutely nowhere.
Oh God!
And play 180 minutes in a week and re-injure themselves.
No, absolutely not. But
interestingly enough, though, if they do come back just after the Charlton match, then it's two massive games for them to come back to, so it would be handy to have a fully fit squad.
Yeah, Cardiff away and Norwich away aren't exactly two of the easiest fixtures in the Championship.
No, I think we need all hands to the pump for them too.
I think we need all the midfielders we've got.
Absolutely. Well, apart from that, not a lot to report. As I said, those four guys all hopefully closing on the action. The only other interesting bit of news I saw this week was dug up by one of our stats team, Will, who I don't know how we found this, but Pavel Pogrebniak has given an interview to a Russian journalist about his future. It was dated a couple of weeks ago, but it's only just surfaced. And it is through Google Translate, so obviously it's not in the best of English. But he's talking about his prospects of a move, and he's asked, you know, are you thinking of moving? Because he's started very many games. But he said, before accepting a particular proposal, you need to think first about all your family. Moving to another country is a difficult process. In addition, there are important financial considerations. I have, shall we say, not low wages, and not all clubs are willing to pay that kind of money. With that, whilst I have no reason to move club, I will stay at Reading, and I hope we return to the Premier League. In short, I'm not ready to leave England. I like English football. If I do decide to leave England, then there is only one option, back to Russia. My not, the key words there, my not, shall we say, low wages.
Because he knows as well as everyone else that no one's going to pay him. What Reading are paying him? The most ridiculous contract they've ever handed out, that is.
Second worst. Well, maybe, behind Royston Venter.
Yeah, two most ridiculous contracts
Jason Roberts
handed out.
As well.
The three. And who
at least this guy makes it on the pitch.
Well, yeah, Jason Roberts.
To be fair,
Royston Venter doesn't make it on the pitch.
Jason Roberts got him in the Premier League.
Yeah, but not the extension. He signed once he was injured.
Yeah, well, that's just get me back for 10 games. I'll run around with a bad knee and then see out my contract. But no, he's not going nowhere because he knows he ain't going to get paid that sort of money. But else. Interestingly enough, I remember watching a while back, a couple of years ago, I think it was Niall Quinn was saying that they tried to sign Pogrebniak at the same time as Reading did. And they said there was no way that Sunderland could match the money that Reading gave him. No way.
Well, I remember Fulham comment because they had him on loan when we signed him.
He scored four goals in one game, didn't he? I seem to remember
that. Yeah, and then I think he scored one in the next 10 or something. But their manager at the time, I can't remember who it was, said, you know, we really wanted to sign him. But I think it might have been Martin Yol. He said, you know, we really wanted to sign him, but there's no way in hell we could afford his wages.
No.
Good luck to Reading.
No, and it's been reported around 60 grand a week. And the very fact that they're not trying to shout that down says it all.
But again, I heard that from the horse's mouth. It's 60 grand a week.
Yeah. The only question I've got then with Pog, just before we move on to Pub Chat, is with the situation he's in and with the lack of form he's in, do you keep putting him on the bench or do you just put him in a Royston Drenthe situation where you say, look, you're just not offering anything. I want to try and bring in a younger player.
But, I mean, the thing is, I mean, the fans were ironically cheering his every touch and every run against Blackpool. But I think he did, you know, run around a bit and make a bit of token effort. Against Bournemouth, he did absolutely nothing. It was a couple of light jogs and that was it. But against Blackpool, he certainly did run around a little bit. And, you know, I think Glenn Murray's just ahead of him at the moment. I do think he has something to offer and more to offer than a youth player.
I think Pogrebniak's a confidence player, and at the moment he's not scoring, he's not playing. So,
like
you said the other day, if he comes off the bench, is there any use in that? And it doesn't seem to be at the moment because he doesn't make an impact when he comes off the bench.
I think you need to massage his ego as well.
Again, Atkins done it pretty well when he first came.
Yeah, I said when that window shut last summer and it looked like he was off, he put his arm around him, said, "Go on, lead the line," and he started not banging in the goals, but he got a couple at Derby, didn't he? And scored a few others, and ended up with double figures in goals, which isn't bad. If you were a 20 grand a week player, for a 60 grand a week player, it's not good enough. But no, it's just a shame. I said he just can't get into games.
No, and he doesn't seem like he wants to at the moment. And that's the most annoying thing about it. Because the thing is, we all know how much he's getting paid. And we know he's on a fortune at the club. And at least you expect to see, is a bit like Mackey, just give us your best, give us what you've got. Mm-hmm. If ain't good enough, then fine.
The only other points I've got on Pog is one, I think it's harsh to blame Pog because it's not Pog that gave him the stupid money, it was Ngarevich.
No, but you expect him to work for it.
Yeah, I think last season he did work for it.
Yeah, I'm not saying he didn't, but I'm saying that you expect to see it all the time.
Yeah, true.
You know what I mean? You expect 100% effort, and if you ain't playing well, fair enough, but at least put put a shift in. And if you put a shift in and you're paying $6,000 a week for him, it's not good enough.
And if the fans are jeering his every run and every touch, he is going to think, well,
yeah,
why should I bother with this? I mean, in my opinion, he was trying more against Blackpool than he did against Bournemouth, which is something.
And that was going to be my other point. What sort of signal did Nigel Adkins send to him, putting Nick Blackman up front instead of him at Bournemouth with Murray injured? That basically says to me, you're my third choice now. See ya.
Conspiracy theory. I don't know who think about this. Is it a coincidence that all of a sudden you said the club are not shouting down that he's on $60,000 a week? It's been leaked quite readily recently, and now he's sort of getting pushed to one side for Nick Blackman and others.
No.
Do you think the club are doing that on purpose?
I don't think the club are doing it on purpose. But
force him out the door?
No, I don't think.
Where to?
Well, I don't know. I'm just
saying. Not force him out the door. It's the fact that the Russian ownership's no longer there. They can say what they like about him, and the fact that they, you know, have got money now to bring a replacement, they don't need to protect him so much, do they?
I'm just saying, would they want to recoup his wages? But I say no one's going to pay it, so it would seem a bit pointless.
Who knows? I think the fact that this has leaked out has said as much about him being happy or unhappy at the club. I mean, this was, 17th of October? So that's around the time that he's been dropped / not run around the side. Yeah. So
no. But the most annoying thing is it's a curse of modern day footballers where they're quite happy to count their money rather than further their careers.
Look at people like Scott Sinclair who take that leap. He hasn't decided to move back to.
Well, it's disgusting. Club.
We could go on and on, but it's time to shift on to Pub Chat.
The Tarlhurst End Podcast. Read the blog on thetarlhurstend.com.
Right, welcome back to Pub Chats. As we hinted in the review of the Blackpool game, about the atmosphere, and there was a little bit of dissension towards Nigel Adkins. Some fans, while others were happily chanting Nigel Adkins, Barmy Army, and Nigel give us a wave, there was a small but noticeable, I would say minority, booing. Actively booing, so that you know, you could hear it. I don't know if it was audible. I mean, Johnny, you sit in the West End, could you hear it?
All I could hear was, there's only one Nigel Adkins, and Nigel Adkins, Barmy Army. I didn't hear any boo.
Other end of the East End.
This is interesting because the radio reported it like it was the whole crowd got behind Adkins. When you listen to what they were saying after the match, it was like, wow, yeah, there was a big percentage of the fans got up and were singing Nigel Adkins' name, and he gave him a clap and a wave, right? And I thought, I'm always a bit sceptical about Radio Berkshire and what comes out of the club. You probably know this from the last 5 years of me podcasting. But I didn't hear what they heard, and I thought maybe they're just making it up. But if Johnny, who sits that side, which is where their reporters are, Radio Berkshire and Reading's are, I know where they sit, right at the top, they probably heard the same as you. So bearing that in mind, they probably did think that it was a large percentage of people getting. And it was, there was a lot of people, don't get me wrong.
There were more people singing than booing.
Yeah. From where I was sat, there was quite a few people booing as well. And I'm not saying like one or two, there was couple of hundred, maybe.
I didn't hear the boom because I thought, why are people singing there's only one Nigel Adkins when we're 2-0 up against the worst side in the league and we've just got
get behind him, Johnny. Get behind the man.
Yeah, again, you've got to say, if that was the case, then you know, fair play to them fans from getting behind the team when they're struggling. And I still don't know how many are in the Nigel Adkins camp, to be fair. I mean, you say there's a lot of people singing it, there's a lot of people that wasn't. There's a lot of people that were silent as well. So
right, well, there's two questions then to ask, really. The first one I'll say is, again, this goes into a bit of a wide debate that we seem to have quite a lot, but is it right for fans to boo? Should they actively boo, or if you don't agree with singing what Nigel Adkins, should you just shut up? Or should you just back him regardless?
I've always said that you shouldn't boo. Sorry, you shouldn't boo till the end of the match. If you want to boo...
That's Nigel Adkins.
Yeah. If you want to boo at the end of the match, I think that's fair enough. But during the game, either don't say anything or do your best to get behind the team.
Johnny?
Personally, that's what I think.
I think you're well within your right to boo whenever you want, to be honest.
Yeah, I just think anything about booing during the game, it just drags everyone down. It pretty much condemns you to a defeat.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I guess it is good / interesting to see that some people are firmly behind Nigel Adkins and some think he, you know, should be sacked, clearly. I mean, if you know, as I said, I'm sort of sitting on the fence either way. I don't think beating a bottom of the table side 3-0 necessarily means chanting his name and saying there's only one of him as if he's some sort of holy figure. But
maybe it was being derogatory. Maybe it was saying there's only one of you. Thankfully.
It's over there. We can see you. But, you know, at the same time, I think you've got to give him a bit more time.
Yeah. I think you can only judge him when everyone's fit. And if they're still churning out nonsense, then... You sack him.
And this is the very question we put to the Tullhurst End readers. I wrote a post this week about, it was called Having Hope in the Hopeless, while I'm not hitting the panic button just yet.
And it wasn't about hope.
It was not about hope. No, it was basically in the wake of the Bournemouth game. And I was saying, look at this team. What do you really expect from them? This isn't a representation of how the entire season's going to go. Keep the faith. It's going to be tricky, but it will get better. But I said, if you've got a different opinion, please write in a comment and vote in the poll. And we gave readers four options to vote in the poll. Nigel Adkins should be given at least this season, be given until Christmas to turn this around, or win against Blackpool, or he's got to go, or just go now, Nigel. And with just under 300 votes, 52% said he should be given at least the season. So over half of the people want him to stay out the season. 24% said he should be given until Christmas to turn it around. Only 18% thought he should go unless they beat Blackpool. And only 7% said he should just go now. So to me, that's a pretty clear indication that people are happy to stick with Adkins and are backing him to turn it round.
I think maybe because of just what I've said, you can't really judge until everyone's 100% fit. But I did notice there was a bit of a change in the footballing style this Saturday. They did tend to get it over the back. They did sort of play long balls over the back and get after it a bit more rather than pitter-patter. So maybe, I don't know, whether he's pushed the panic button, all the players have thought, you know what, let's just get it forward and get after it.
Well, wasn't there a bit of a mutiny moment last season?
There was.
There was.
Where we were trying all this tiki-taka, wishy-washy football and...
Backwards, sideways and sideways.
Joe Bamaka, yeah. I've got the players, and the players had a meeting, didn't they? And they said, let us have a chance to play this way and see how it goes.
4-4-2. So yeah, you know, maybe you sort of sat down and done that again and sort of said, you know, let's just have a go sort of thing.
Yeah.
Let them off the leash a little bit. But
Well, as I said, you can get in touch with us on Twitter at the Tullhurst End. Let us know what you think, whether it's ever right to boo the manager or whether fans should keep silent. Your general thoughts on it.
What are we saying, anyhow? Although we've read out the poll results.
I voted he needs to begin at least this season. I want to see him at least have another full transfer window.
Johnny?
Yeah, I think so. And I think when we see what the... new tie owners, if they've got anything for us in January in terms of transfer funds and what he can do again, because Nigel Adkins, I made the point for September, the three players that he brought in, Cox, Norwood and Murray, were all in the top three for player of the month. So clearly, he knows what he wants from his players. If the tie consortium have got a bit of money that they can give us in January, and we maybe go get left back and a centre back and sort a few positions, I think Nigel can take us forward, but you've got to see that progress, because it's all well and good saying give him till the end of this season, but he had the whole of last season as well and the back end of the Premier League
As I say, there's plenty of time to get him organised, there's nothing else. But I suppose you have to give him till the end of the season, but I still think that Reading will finish the back end of this season strongly. But it all depends. If you get to Christmas and he's 18th, 19th, then you're thinking, as a tie owner, you're thinking, you know what, we've got a decent side here. Why are we struggling? And we've got 4 months, 5 months to try and get back in the Premier League.
January transfer window as well.
Yeah.
For a new manager. I can understand if people think that he should be performing better. And I agree. I think we should be doing better than we are. I think some of the games we've lost have been pathetic. Brentford and Huddersfield spring to mind.
Yeah.
But this for me, and this is probably a topic for another week, and I don't want to dwell on it, but look at the underinvestment in this team over arguably the last 5 years. Do you know who our last centre-back signing was for money?
Ooh.
Sean Morrison.
No. Adrian Mariappa, gone. Who was the last? Who was the one before that?
Sean Morrison.
Kasper Gorks, gone. The one before that was Sean Morrison.
Huh? He's going to get it right eventually.
Yeah.
So Reading haven't signed there's not an established centre-back at the club that has been signed for money, unless you count the 40-odd grand it costs to get Piers Sweeney in.
I think it's not just the fact that we're not as good as people think we should be. It's the fact that the football's turning people off because, let's face it, in general, it's been pretty boring.
You're trying to get players that can't play that way or need time to learn it.
It's pretty boring, isn't it, to be fair? Yeah. It's not exciting watching Reading at the minute.
But then again, I thought a lot of the football in McDermott's last... I thought his first season was exciting and scintillating football and a little bit in his second season. But the Championship season, I don't think we were... No. Pulling up trees, we just knew how to win.
Yeah, I'm not saying it should be exciting, but you've got to win if you're not playing football.
That's the thing, but winning mitigates.
Yeah. Anyway, exactly. George's pub chat to a close, so please get in touch, thetullhurstend@gmail.com, or send us an email to thetullhurstend@gmail.com. Sorry, the Twitter is @thetullhurstend. And with that note, let's move on to some of your tweets this week.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
@thetullhurstend
and facebook.com/thetullhurstend.
Right, thanks to all of you who've sent in tweets and emails this week. You've just heard the contact information, so I won't read it out again. Let's get right into it. Mark Sugar, a regular tweeter into the show, says, if the club were to receive an acceptable offer for Hal Robson-Kanu, would you sell? Looks yeah. like a player going through the motions.
Yeah, I suppose you'd get a reasonable offer for Robson-Kanu.
Hey, Premier League teams were reportedly interested in this summer.
I've said this before, I'll say it again. If Robson-Kanu's going to get bought by anyone, I'll pick him up and drive him there, myself. I said this about Shane Long. I regret that one. But this one, I don't feel I ever regret it. Hal Robson-Kanu, Johnny, I don't like him.
What we have picked on him a little bit in the last couple of years. He's our underachieving, our reigning Telestem podcast Christmas award.
But he most underachieving player. He continues to be that way. You know what I mean?
I agree, but why? Why is it? I mean, we tried to play it off as, oh, maybe he's still injured.
But just name one discernible feature that he has to his game.
Well, he's strong. When he has, he's got some good goals in his time.
Yeah, he can hit a ball.
He can shoot. His crossing's not the worst. He put in a really great cross that I think Simon Cox should have scored in the first minute against
Derby. Yeah, he did, yeah.
First minutes against Derby. So he's got the attributes. Why is he not putting it all together?
He just doesn't do it enough, you know? I don't think he's quite got enough pace to be a winger. He hasn't quite got the finishing to be a striker. He hasn't got the guile to play, like, you know, just behind the striker.
He can't defend.
Yeah.
Do you agree with Mark? Do you think he's going through the motions, Westy?
Yes, I think he is going through the
motions. Do you
think
he just needs a new club?
He's another one. I think he gets paid rather well at Reading, and I think he just runs through the motions.
Given the number 9 shirt this year as well, he's not exactly lived up to it.
Exactly. No, Robson-Kanu is letting himself down as a footballer. That's all I can say. He's letting himself down.
It's clear Nigel Atkins has a load of faith in him, and previous managers have as well. But there comes a time when you start to say... put up or shut up.
I mean, clearly Nigel Atkins sees something on the training ground in Hal Robson-Kanu. I mean, I work in horse racing, and, you know, trainers often say they do it, you know, when they're at home, but they just don't do it on the track, or they do it on the track, but they don't do it at home. I think possibly it's the same with Hal Robson-Kanu. Clearly he's shown them on the training ground that he's got all these abilities and he can play the perfect tactical game, but for whatever reason, when he gets out onto that pitch, he can't do it.
He must be training on bouncy castles or something on the training ground.
Must be playing with the inflatable football.
He must be up against Paul Grebniak.
Well, maybe he looks so good because he's playing up against Reading's defence.
Could be, yeah. Robson-Kanu lets himself down as a footballer. I've said this for a number of years.
Hal, if you're listening, I will humbly bow down to your feet if you turn this around and score 15 goals in the second half of the season.
Thing is, he is
capable. Because I think you've got the talent.
He's capable. Mm. That's what annoys me about him, because he could do it if he really wanted
to. We wouldn't be talking about him if we didn't think he had talent, because those players don't get mentioned. It's like, we didn't used to hammer, we weren't doing the show, but I never used to hammer Simon Church because I just didn't think Simon Church was up to it.
No, Simon Church used to give you all he had.
The same with Noel Hunt. And players like that, you don't hammer them. When someone shows
flashes, but then they can't deliver it constantly.
Yeah.
And he's done it in the Premier League. I mean, he scored 7-8 goals at the back end of the season, didn't he? And I thought he looked really good at the back end of the Premier League system.
Scored against Arsenal. Scored against Tottenham.
But if a player can do that in a Premier League, they should be doing a Championship. Mm. But he can't do it.
Prove us wrong, Hal, because otherwise you are nailed on for the Underachiever Award at this Christmas podcast.
Your career is running out of time, so you're going to have to start proving us wrong pretty soon.
Also, this will be his third one, so he gets to keep it.
Yeah.
You can drive that round to him when you drive to Stoke.
What I'll ask then is, Hal Robson-Kanu's contract is up in the summer. Do you give it... Johnny's giving a gesture of celebration.
Fist punching, I think they call it.
Yeah, he is. But in all seriousness, Hal Robson-Kanu's deal is up in the summer. Do you give him another try and get him to a new deal on the basis that you can still hope he flourishes, or do you just say he's gone?
I'll tell you what happened with Hal Robson-Kanu, shall I? He'd get to the back end of this season, he'd put in 3 decent performances and everything. Oh, this is him, he's at his best. Sign a new contract and go back to exactly the same way he was.
I'd say the opposite.
Salako syndrome, that is.
I don't think he'll get it. I think if he has 3 good games, I think he'll get a move to someone else.
I mean, we don't know what wage he's on, but I think he signed when we were either going up to the Premier League.
Just come down.
Yeah. He's on good money.
So he's probably on good money. I think that money could, especially with other high earners on the wage bill, I think, to be honest, that money can be better spent elsewhere.
Yeah, he's done nothing
to prove. Basically, he's then got the next 2 or 3 months to prove he should be here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too.
Did you take an offer in January?
Yeah, let him go.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Reading Pete Bryant says, is Glenn Murray always angry? He does seem a bit of an angry man.
He still looks like Jimmy Quinn to me, but yeah, he does seem angry. But good, I like players being angry.
He's got 4 goals already. Not too bad.
But yeah, he's not had a great deal of supply, but he's decent in the air.
He was doing a lot of the sort of Jason Roberts strength against Blackpool, sort of manoeuvring people off the ball. The ref was.
I was going to mention that he was awful.
Well, we said this last week, and we said this a week before, and I hate putting attention on referees, but he should have been allowed to use his body to shield the ball, you know?
Yeah, because defenders are. You don't ever see a penalty given against a striker for a defender leaning on them, do you? Mm. Or over-jumping them.
Technically, by the letter of the law, I can understand why he was given some of the free kicks. Just let the game go.
Yeah, he killed
it. It's not the worst. Both teams were trying to do it. There was no need. You're supposed to referee a game so that it's a fair game for both sides.
Mm.
At the end of the day, that's what the referees have to do. Someone made a good point on the radio. A yellow card isn't there just to punish a player. Yellow cards are used to manage a game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same with fouls. You should be trying to manage a game. If it's getting out of hand, everyone's bars are shoving everyone, then start blowing up for it. But
there was nothing
from the first minute. Garbage. But as I said, I'm not going to slag him off because it was the same to both sides.
Yeah,
and that's at least. But and said letter of the law. But for me, I don't like it.
Has Glenn Murray made a difference as well?
Yeah, he's better than Pog.
Definitely, I think he's definitely made a difference.
Yeah, he's what we need. He can hold the ball. He can win a few headers, which Pog can't do.
No. Score goals as well.
Yeah,
he's scoring.
Should have had a couple more.
He's only scored one in the last one in October.
I do wonder how the last few games would have gone if he'd stuck that penalty away at Sheffield Wednesday. Because if Reading win that game, I think they've won five in a row.
Yeah,
they've probably kept another clean sheet.
Yeah.
And the confidence is still there.
He should let Blackman take it because we see this week that he's pretty cool when he comes to taking penalties.
Would he have had the balls to take that sort of penalty though at one? If it was 0-0?
I genuinely think he probably would have done.
Really?
Yeah.
Rather him than me. Joe Stevenson, another regular tweeter. Thanks for tweeting in again, Joe. He said, "Are you disappointed we didn't get anyone on the Ballon d'Or shortlist?"
Yeah, but what Joe's missed, I think, is we've got plenty on the Barn d'Or shortlist. Including ex-player.
Show's over, folks. That's it.
Ex-player Lafondra this week. Who, if anyone sees some of the chances he missed for Cardiff, you can see why he got sold.
Did you see him? No.
Oh, he missed an absolute sitters this week.
One goal for your £3.5 million, folks.
That's less than Sean Morrison.
Awful.
And he hit one in his own net.
Yeah. Very quickly on the Ballon d'Or, in all seriousness. Were you surprised there was no other British players other than Gareth Bale on there?
No. It's pretty much closed shop last couple of years, isn't it?
I thought someone like a Gerrard might have snuck on there because they had a decent season for Liverpool. But
no. Well, unless you're doing a sort of BBC Sports Personality when we gave it to Giggs as a sort of lifetime achievement award, I don't think.
Nah, there's only two players that can win it, and I think Ronaldo win it.
Steven Gerrard's career will be remembered by the fact that he slipped on his effing A and gave it to Demba Ba.
Yeah.
At the end of the season.
He was a good member for the worst things you do, not the best.
Indeed, and the World Cup as well. I think Roberto Marques, they say, you just got to look at the international performances play a big part in it as well. And obviously, they didn't cover themselves in glory. So, stuff to aim for. But no, Pavel Pogrebniak just narrowly missing out on the shortlist, I've heard.
Yeah.
Harry Robson Canoe also close.
Is this the Barn d'Or shortlist or the...
right. Tim Redmayne says, he says this with Pub Chat. Apologies. Though good for them, are we worried about the possibilities of Federici and Hope Akpan missing up to 7 games due to the Asia Cup and the African Cup of Nations?
See, I noticed this when I've been playing as Reading on Football Manager. Adam Federici went away for 7 games, like 2 months, like in December and January.
I seem to remember he turned it down the last time.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He turned it down to stay for Reading.
Might have been.
Is it every 2, 3, 4 years?
I'm not sure, but I remember he turned it down.
He did turn it down because he wasn't going to be first choice, so there's no point in him going.
Whether he will do this time, I mean, obviously he's missed out on this World Cup cycle.
He might go.
And by the next time, he's going to be...
He's been in the squad though, hasn't he?
Yeah, he played in friendly against Qatar, sort of thing.
Mm.
Yeah, I think he might go this time.
Are you worried though if those two go?
No.
I'd be more worried if Federici went than if Akpan went. Assuming that we've got Jem... Williams and Guthrie and everyone back by then, because I mean, you know, we said we weren't particularly worried when Anderson came in for one or two games. I think it gets a bit different when you get to 7 or 8 games.
I think they'd survive. I don't know if they'd go again.
I think they'd survive, but I wouldn't necessarily feel as confident.
I genuinely don't feel there's anything to worry about if they both go missing for 7 matches.
Fair enough. And Chris Baker, Zach Nolan on Twitter says, "Who's our best right back, Gunter or Cummings? Discuss."
It was Gunter, but neither of them are great.
Gunter just.
Yeah.
No Kelly.
See, he didn't even make the shortlist for that. We've only got 3 right backs.
Yeah.
I'm Gunter's all round.
I've got to go for Gunter.
I compared Gunter earlier to Andy Burnell on the pitch.
Really?
Important state on the pitch.
Let's get over that.
Andy Burnell. Just because I thought Skippy was just he did a bit what Gunter did, really. He got up and down that flank, really, but he was never a great crosser of the ball. He wasn't brilliant defensively either.
Got stuck in.
Yeah. But he played for a team that was did well in the Championship and not so well in Division 2.
Andy Burnell was a steady right back. He never pulled up any trees.
I think this is what Gunter's turned into, though.
Yeah.
Mid-20s now, and he's not kicking on.
They're very different players, but yeah, I see what you're saying.
Anyway, that just about wraps up the tweets. So thank you very much to all those who've sent in to @thetarlestend. So facebook.com/tarlestend and thetarlestend@gmail.com. Just time for some Any Other Business.
The Tarlhurst End Podcast. Any Other Business.
Right, time for Any Other Business, and we'll start with our look ahead to the Blackburn game. Blackburn, a team that have been in, unfortunately, good form recently. They're unbeaten in four. They've only lost one out of their last seven games. That coming away at Rotherham. You know, they've won at Fulham, beaten Birmingham, although everyone beats Birmingham. But they won 3-1 at Nottingham Forest, who just a few weeks ago we were all saying they're going to run away with this division.
Weren't they unbeaten? Mm. Well, no, they lost to Cardiff, didn't they, Forest?
Yeah, well, they were going great guns, and obviously they smashed us over the season. They were going really well, and they've just, Forest themselves have slipped away now, but it's not a good omen for Reading if they're facing a team that have just comprehensively won our place. We got smashed 4-0.
So I've just seen that Forest are down to 7th.
Yeah, they've not won in 7 games.
Whoa.
Stuart Pearce isn't a good manager, though, is he? He's not, though, is he?
It was earlier in the season.
Yeah.
Apparently they're after Tom Ince.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ooh, good luck to him, because he's a good player, but...
Yeah.
No, I don't rate Stuart Pearce as a manager, anyhow.
Anyway, Blackburn, more importantly.
Yeah, moving on.
Blackburn. As I said, beating Forest, they're up to 8th. They're on a good roll. Ewood Park, a place Reading have never had particularly good fortunes at. Last year it was a 0-0 draw. We should have had a penalty. Gunter was...
Oh, yeah.
And we got an apology from the referee, didn't we?
Oh, if we got booked for diving, didn't we?
Was it Gunter? I think it was Gunter.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
But yeah, we got an official apology because they got the decision so horribly wrong. But
we drew 3-3 there in the first season of the Premier League.
Yeah, one goal away from Europe.
Yeah,
it's all got.
Ian Gamarsson, wasn't it, scored, and then it got chalked off. Or Gunnarsson, wasn't it? Anyway, boom, this Saturday. How do you see it going, Westy? Do you see Reading getting anything out of this? Has Saturday's win given you the confidence?
I can't see him getting a lot out of it, unfortunately. Like I say, Blackburn have been doing particularly well recently. They did concede a lot of goals at the start of the season, but it looked like they shored that up quite a bit recently. And they've got players up front that can score goals. I mean, we all know about Rhodes for starters. So I fear for Reading away from home to Blackburn, to be fair.
Johnny?
I don't think we'll get anything from the game, to be honest. They've got a great striker. They're in good form. And, you know, we beat Blackpool 3-0, but that's nothing, is it? Ironically, did you notice we were the first team to beat Blackpool by more than 2 goals?
Yeah, we spoke about this. We said they'd only see the odd goal here and there. Yeah. So, again, on their day, Reading might be able to turn them over, but the way things have been recently, you'd be surprised.
Okay, well, then let's go straight to our predictions then. We've actually had a really good week in the prediction league. Our misery has finally been rewarded.
I've been one away in all of the last three. One goal away in all the last three.
Well, for the Bournemouth game, I had a 4-2 win for Bournemouth. Johnny had a 3-1 win for Bournemouth. They said one goal out. Westy, you had a 2-1 win for Bournemouth. And Charles Watts had a 2-0 win for Bournemouth.
Nice.
So
positive.
We all got the result right, but none of us got the score.
Nice and positive.
For Blackpool, I said 1-0. Johnny said 3-1. You said 4-1. And Charles Watts went for a draw. So we all picked up points except for Charles. So at the end of that, Johnny is on top with 8 points. I'm second in 7th. Charles on 6, but Westy's coming up fast on 4.
Yes. So,
let's go. Score prediction then for this week. Johnny, I'm starting with you.
1-3.
Blackburn win, I presume.
Yeah, I'm liking my 3-1s at the moment. I'll carry on with that.
Yeah.
Okay, Westy?
That's the pattern. I'm saying 2-0 Blackburn.
0-2.
This is
the sort of thing that I can just Reading sort of randomly tend to do well in these games. And you know what? I'm going to go bold. I think Reading are going to win 1-0.
Oh, I hope you're right.
In a Middlesbrough-esque performance.
I hope you're right.
So that's it.
Not a Forest-esque performance.
No. We'll get Charles Watts' thoughts on the podcast section this week. We are playing Rotherham next Tuesday. I'm hoping we might be able to record on Monday. So we won't predict that. But if we don't manage to record a show, we'll all say we got it right anyway. Right, so that covers
that works for me.
That covers the Blackburn game. Johnny, player of the month.
Yes, indeed.
As we've now run out of games in October.
Indeed. Next game we play is in November. So we have 4 nominees for player of the month. We can quickly put up our own nominations, if you like, or our own picks. But the four players that you can vote on tarlestend.com are Hope Akpan, Adam Federici, Jamie Mackey, and Glenn Murray. Wester, your chuckle.
Yeah, I was chuckling because I've just read the same page you are, and it's got average ratings for all of them, 6, and yeah, that's the player of the month.
It is a woeful month.
Yeah, it was hard to pick them, really. It was just, I mean, these are the players that got more than 6 out of 10 on average.
Yeah.
And 3 of them got 6 out of 10.
I frequently reference this spreadsheet that we're keeping all season, and the average rating for Reading's players in October was 5.3 out of 10.
That is woeful, isn't it? Mm.
5.3 out of 10. If you compare that to the previous month, it was 6.47.
Paul Gremniak's is classic. 3.25. Yeah. I feel I'd have got more than that.
Handbags Harris is 1 out of 10, not doing Pog any favours.
That has killed him there.
To be fair, Bucks Rule gave him a 3 this week as well. So, yeah, he's not doing well. His average rate for the entire season is 4.67.
So what you're telling me, he's not even got 6 as a mark over October if you add all his scores up together.
No, his highest rate in all season, he's not got more. He's got 1-7. He got a 7 in the 1-0 win over Ipswich.
Yeah.
I gave him that because I'm generous and I have a soft spot for him.
Good work.
Anyway, those are your four choices of player of the month.
Quick pick, Westy?
I suppose best of a bad bunch. You probably have to say, even though I didn't think he was spectacular, but he did keep us in a few, well, kept the score down, nothing else. I suppose you'd have to say Adam Federici. But only because the others didn't do anything.
Mm. Mac.
And that fan, the saviour that we said last week, that we've missed off the podcast so far. We said putting back in the side to shore things up, and we still got a big 3-0.
One clean sheet out of 2 games.
Well, one. Against Blackpool. I think I could have pulled.
Take what you can
played
get.
The anchor would have been alright.
I don't think Akpan had very much to do with their goals at Bournemouth. No. I think that was all the defence is doing.
No, but I said we brought him in as some sort of messiah-like figure to shore things
but
up.
But why would...
Best thing to happen.
It would have been 10-0 had he not
could
played.
Could have been.
Yeah. Look at what Birmingham... Birmingham didn't have Hope Akpan playing and they got beat 8-0.
It could have been 10-0 if Federici weren't playing against Bournemouth.
Out of those four names, Federici, I think. Maybe Mackie.
Yeah.
With all due respect to Aaron Court and, you know, congratulations to him for winning our August award. That, again, it was just a month when nobody really stood out.
Yeah.
Just
the worrying thing is, Johnny, that people are winning by default rather than by standing out.
And I think it's between Federici and Mackie. Mackie because he's, yeah, as you said earlier, Westy, that typical player that epitomises effort and, you know, hunger and putting it all in. And Federici, just because he had the best performance, clear, by far, the best performance of any Reading player this month.
Yeah, well, he's had to, because there's no one in front of him.
Would have been 8.
Yeah.
It would have been 8.
Yeah, it would have been.
Well, certainly a different situation from last year's Player of the Month, and it was the same people winning it all the time. Pavel Gremniak, of course, winning 3 in a month. Three times in a row.
Yeah.
Which just goes to show he can do it when he wants to.
He can indeed. So yes, head over to tarlestend.com to vote for that. You can also, by the way, check out our editorial team over at the Tarlestend, all picked our ideal Reading 11s. It's a question we get quite a lot from listeners, from the tweets, about who would be in your strongest Reading team if everyone was fit. So head over and check out that article, and you can find that out, as I said, all over at thetarlestend.com. That just about wraps this show up for the week. As I said, I'll be sitting down with Charles Watts, hopefully, for the Blackburn game. Stay tuned for the Twitter feed if that changes. Also, just a quick plug, please, if you haven't already, subscribe to us on iTunes. It's the quickest way to get both shows straight to your mobile device as soon as possible. It also helps us with our numbers. And also, if you want to leave a review as well, that would be very kind of you. Helps other fans find us. So it's all good. But yeah, plenty more goodness up on tarlestend.com. We'll hopefully be back Monday. I'll have to chat with you two.
So what about
me? So there you go. Heard it here first. I think it's a tentative yes. But anyway, we'll let you know on the Twitter if anything changes. Thanks again to everybody who's tweeted in and got in contact. And we'll see you next week. Ta-da. It's my head, 'cause I'll always be betrayed.